finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio. What's going on, everyone? I have been building like crazy. I think it's very natural for there to be seasons in business where you don't have clarity, and it's really frustrating. You know, it's like the ongoing problem of what it takes to run a business, to scale a business, to create leverage, both with money, capital, tech, people, you know, all those things. But then there's the problem of knowing the avenue to go down in the first place, you know, and I feel like, you know, it's interesting. So I was talking to, this is a pretty interesting story. So I was in Arizona and I was standing in line to get my picture with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I give him the Capitalist Pig shirt, right? And while I was standing in line, super powerful people are also in, like, it's really interesting. They were in line also. And so I'm talking another guy named Steven, and owns this massive security company. And security meaning like he's like supplying the helicopters that's getting these government people to different places, and very interesting guy. And it was fascinating. So he was like, you know, tell me about yourself. And I was like, I'm Steve Larson. I started a business. It took off. I did $15 million in revenue pretty quickly, you know. And since then, I've been kind of figuring out my angle. And I think I got it now, which I'm really excited about. And I'm so stoked to just go make capitalism bigger, cooler, help people understand what it actually is. It is not evil at all. Anyway, so we're talking, and within like minutes, this guy, I don't know what it was. I've never had anyone really do this to me before, and I've met a lot of people, you know. And we're standing in line, and it's slowly moving forward, you know, kind of like the lines at Disney, you know what I mean? It's like stanchions back and forth, waiting to get pictures and all that. And where the pictures are happening is like curtained off, so you kind of have some privacy with RFK for a moment. It's really interesting. The way they had it set up, it's cool flow. Secret Service is all over the place, obviously. Everybody's eyeing you. Tons of security checkpoints throughout up to that point. But this guy just kind of out of nowhere, he like squares up with me, like physically. And I don't know. I've never had anyone do what it was a fascinating experience. He squared up with me, and I'm gonna get vulnerable here, so whatever. You guys know me. I've made my name off of just, I document the good and the tough, the progress and the bumps, right? Which I think is one of the reasons people follow my stuff. So he like squared up with me, super successful, like holy crap, you know. He like looked at me and he was like, hey, I was where you once were. I was like, I can see that, you know. I was like, I get that. Like, what do you see? You know, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? Like, tell me, you know. I'm super open. Like, I'm an open book. Like, tell me, you know I don't have everything all together. Like, and, I'm abbreviating some of this conversation. But basically what he said is, he goes, there's a period of my career, which sounds like is similar to what you just went through or are going through. And I just like, I also kind of got really successful really quickly at a very young age, and, you know, made this cash and it was great. And then I kind of plateaued, and he's telling me this about, you know, his career. And I was like, you know, that's funny. Cause like, I feel like there was a couple of years there where I kind of plateaued also, and I don't know what was going on. And he goes, that's why I'm saying it. He's like, I can hear it even in your speech patterns. And I was like, oh, we'll keep going. And it was interesting. He was like shoulder to shoulder squared up with me, pretty close to my face, just looking dead in the eye. Like, I don't really remember. It was one of those moments in life where it feels like time kind of stood still, and the dude just looked right into my soul. And for the next probably 10 minutes, he just dumped all of this wisdom straight in. I mean, it's straight in me. And it was some of the most valuable advice, you know, that I've ever been given. For the spot that I'm in now. And I think that's one of the challenges of, you know, quote unquote, the guru era, is that a lot of the advice that comes across the board might be good advice, but it was good advice for the person who is in the similar scenario, you know, with similar resources, with similar constraints, you know. They were on step 429 and you were also on step 429, you know, but a lot of people are comparing step 429's activities to step one activities, you know, or step 10, and acting like that advice is still the good advice. And it's just not true. It's just not true. So part of what I have been going through, and part of what you guys probably been observing me go through, has been this realization that the advice I've been getting is well-meaning but ill-informed. And I think that's something that we should in our industry think about a little bit more, is like, this is well-meaning yet ill-informed. Not ill-informed in that it's wrong, ill-informed in terms of your situation, right? Maybe it's not the best fit for what you are going through. Maybe it's not you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying to not listen to coaches. That's also, I've been nervous, you know, I don't want to say that. That's not the point. That's not the point. But just recognize that there are people who have all the best intentions in the planet, but they're absolutely correct. 429, that step, yeah, do what that person is saying. But there comes a point where, you know, what is that? I think it's either Aristotle or Socrates that basically says, it is the mark of an intelligent mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. You know what? It was misquoted Aristotle. I don't know who the original was. It is the mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. And so whenever somebody who is further down the path of you is giving advice, number one, be humble enough to recognize that they're further than you, right? Right? And they do have absolute wisdom, you know? But every time you get advice from someone, I think one of the mistakes that I made for a while, you know, I can look back to the plateau, the beginning of the plateau, and there's a lot of reasons for it. And if you've not heard the Rare Things show that Marley and I just started, I would go listen to it, because we talk about psychedelic therapy and how much it's literally changed my life, blessed my life, ripped out, you know, sludge and mud and crap from me, stuff that I didn't know was there, you know. And I'm literally just more peaceful, I'm happier, you know. But anyway, so this advice stuff comes around, and I think part of what we need to do whenever we get advice is we need to sit back and say to ourselves, what is the situation of the person who's giving the advice? Do they understand my situation? Right? The advice that's coming in, have they also walked the path that I'm going down? You know, and ultimately, take a beat, like sit back, don't actually do anything with it. Don't rush to how you're going to implement immediately, and ask yourself, you know, it's kind of weird to say this, because when someone comes through one of my programs, I'm like, just follow these steps and the chance of your likelihood is going to go through the roof. Like, you know, but 80% of business is all the same, right? But that last 20%, that's really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the customized advice for the situation that you're in and the step that you're trying to take, right? The scenarios, constraints, resources that you have or don't have. That 20% can feel like the entire 100%. Right, even though it's not true. So there's still general business principles. Just follow them, right? Just follow them. You got to pitch. And pitch volume is the number one KPI. How frequently and how often are you pitching, and how many people are you pitching? right? That's the number one KPI. If that's low, nothing else matters, right? If you don't have an offer, even a little bit of an offer, it's going to be a problem. Like there's general things you have to have. But I'm talking about that 20%. And whenever advice comes in, you sit back and you ask yourself, kind of buffet style, what was great? Like chew on it is my point. Like don't just rush to implementing. You chew on it for a little bit. Well, this guy's advice I could tell was just perfect for me because, we were having this whole conversation again right before me getting a picture with RFK, which is so fun. I was supposed to get one with Trump right after, but he's busy. Ah, sucks. Other people did. I didn't. Something about running for president or whatever. the advice though that he gave was interesting, and I realized, or rather, it was confirmed to me more of a suspicion of why the plateau happened, which is that I did start listening to other people's advice too much. You know what I'm saying? You should go do this. You should go do that. Well, so-and-so is having success with XYZ funnel, therefore you should do the same. And we tend to do that. And again, there is something to be said about funnel hacking. There's absolutely something to be said about modeling those who come before you. But part of the journey, and again, I'm going to talk about my spot in my journey. I think I have been getting tested on getting asked, well, what do you want? Isn't that funny? Is it funny that we have to practice wanting what we want? Ben Hardy talks about that in 10X is easier than 2X. And I know I've been quoting that book a lot lately because I'm almost done with it and it's so freaking good. But I realized that there has been a part of me that has not been wanting my wants, you know? And so, right, when you don't know what you, when you're not clear on that, or at least you're not being honest about it. And to me, I think I've always known what I wanted. I just haven't been being honest about it. Like, I want to make this Capitalist Pig a national brand. I want to make it a huge clothing line. I want to make the nation my stage. I want to get on Joe Rogan, and talk about capitalism versus, not capitalism, which the opposite of capitalism is not actually socialism. But anyway, I am really grateful for this last 3 months. It's been a hard 3 months. What's shook out of it though has been a brutal honesty in wanting what I want. And I've been advised by some very big people to not go down the Capitalist Pig route. I've been advised by some very big people, don't go do, but I want what I want. I want my wants. And I'm still going to use all of the funnel skills and tactics and strategies, all those things that I've got in my 10-year long, experience and career in this space. Now I'm going to use those applied to a different market though, And I've been feeling for probably 4 years now, leave funnel land. It's not that you can't put a product out to serve them every once in a while. It's not that you can't still fish from it every once in a while, but it's not your main market anymore. And it's not. It's not. It's one of the reasons why I've been like, Sales Funnel Radio is live. Let's stop it. No, but it's back alive. Let's stop it. I don't think I'm ever going to stop it because I just love it. I have so much affinity for it. I'm still going to document my journey to 100 million in sales, which I actually think is going to happen a lot faster than I even thought with what I'm doing. And just crazy cool. I'm now doing this stuff where I've been connecting with and talking with brokers and really big people in the franchise and licensing space and other like big business who really don't understand our direct response world. And I'm like, if I was to take the same skill sets and apply them to a different market, it would be explosive. And so that's kind of what I've been doing. So anyway, I just want to give you an update on that. That's what's been happening. That's what's been going on is we're putting this swag store out. It's wearepigs.com. If you go to capitalismswag.com, it'll forward you. We had to do that. We found out again because the ad space does not like the word capitalism, which is why all my ads have always been rejected whenever I try to run an ad for Capitalist Pig shirts, this is not my first attempt. I've been trying to do this for a while. So funny enough, by changing the name of the store already, it just changed everything. So, yeah. Anyway. So, what I'm doing is I've been building the We Are Pigs swag store, but I've been turning Shopify into a funnel. It's still funnel-esque. You know, so you put your cart together, you go and you buy, there's upsells and stuff like that. But then on the thank you page, there is a VSL that says, if you want more help, you know, watch this 5 to 10 minute VSL. Let me roll over to it right now. And then there's a button that pops up. It's on the Shopify page. It's pretty cool. I'm like psyched. And then using all the principles that, you know, I learned while working for Russell, we took the one item that's the hottest item out of the entire store, which is the Capitalist Pig shirt. And it's going to be capitalistpigshirt.com. And that will be the front end funnel, which I also figured out how to connect and integrate with Shopify also. So I don't need new fulfillment. I don't need different payment processors. We might use some Stripe, but I'm kind of mostly thinking I'm not going to use Stripe for, I don't know. I love Stripe. Stripe also makes me nervous because I feel like they're like the Google. They're like Google before we all felt the Google snap, you know? The Thanos snap. It's like at any moment they could be like, nope. And then for no reason, and you can't fight it or contend it or give them, you know, it's like, okay, well, you're not the only processor out there. So I'm going with a different one, which is pretty cool because, they're awesome. Their fees are a little less. Plus, it's an affiliate program, which is really cool. So, that's what I've been working on. And while I've been putting this stuff together, it has made things that I have always felt I'll use sometime in the future now become necessary. For example, I knew that OfferMind, such a good event, and I am absolutely going to automate the best of series with that event. 100%. Really psyched for it. It's going to be great. Offer launch, also fantastic event, right? OfferMind's about creating your offer. Offer launch is about launching it. Two totally different skill sets. One's entrepreneurship, the other is marketing. Completely different mentalities. I have an entire event just on funnel building, which is also very different than entrepreneurship and also very different than marketing. I have a very, very different and unique take on a sales message writing. Lead gen. I got a lot of stuff, you know? I've been in space a long time. We have an 84 terabyte drive that sits in my desk of just so many events, man. There's just so much stuff, right? And so I'm like, man, I don't want to be known as just the offer guy. I don't want to be known as just the funnel guy. I don't want to be known as just the sales message guy. I don't want to be known as just the dramatic demonstrations guy, which is so fun that outline is almost done. And I'm basically going to write the entire month of December, and I'm super psyched about it. And so I'm like, what is the broad theme that takes me out of funnel space but still appeals to business people? And it's funny, it is literally on the top of my studio. It hit Monday morning. I was like agitated. You ever get like agitated? Like you can, like when big breakthroughs happen, they're not always comfortable. In fact, I've noticed the largest breakthroughs I've ever had, usually there's more discomfort right ahead of time, right? And that's just true with any launch. That's true with any like progression, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if it has to be that way, but it has been for me. You know, it's like, some of the best epiphanies I've ever had in my entire life come when my back is against the wall. And stupidly, I would try to find those walls and be like, let's make it hard on purpose. And I think I made things harder than they needed to be for quite a while also. So, mistake, but whatever, you know, live and learn. But that being said, so Sunday, this last Sunday, I'm recording this right now, it's Thursday. I was like, man, I was like feeling like extra agitated, you know, and it's cool because Marley kind of knows, she sees that, you know, we've been together 4 years now and you know, she knows that. She, you know, she's like, hey, something big is coming tomorrow. And I was like, I think you're right. Like, what, like,
am I just freaking moody? Like, what is this? Like, you know, and I was getting a little like, getting a little left-brained, where I get really analytical and I stop being entrepreneurial and I'm like, oh yeah, I can just be creative and solve my problems. You know what I'm saying? And I get stuck in the left brain and she's like, something big is coming. And sure enough, it was this event. It was this theme. It was this brand. It was this angle that is the through line. It's the whole thread throughout my entire...
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Business, and it was not on purpose, man, but looking backwards, it connects all the dots, and it was it suddenly is a direct and immediate use for using Capital's Pick shirts as a front end. The direct and immediate use of using all of my, like, it's amazing. And it's Pursuit of Profit. Pursuit of Profit is the name of my S-Corp. It's what's on top of my building. And so pursuitofprofit.com is going to be my new 3-day event. The first time I do it will probably not be a full 3-day event, but it's going to be my new 3-day event. And instead of doing a whole 3-day event just on offers, a 3-day event just on launches, a 3-day event just, I mean, I have an entire 5-day challenge going deep on offers. I have an entire different one just on funnel strategy, an entire different 5-day one just on sales message writing. I have an entire 5-day one just on market disruption, how you disrupt a marketplace in order to get lead flow from it at speed. I mean, I have so many topics of just challenges. So many more. I just did my 28th event, man. Right? And they're always amazing. People always freaking love them. My workshops, oh, blow people. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. But sometimes I also go a little deep, you know? And I used to kind of like try to fight that in myself. And I'm like, ugh, like I'm literally fighting my skill set, you know? So instead, what I've done is I've changed this so that this Pursuit of Profit, it's not as deep, but it shows you how all of these pieces fit together. I'm really proud of it. Like, so what we're doing is we're saying, come get a Capital's Pick shirt, whether it's in, you know, my ClickFunnels or it's in Shopify, whatever it is, and it actually includes a ticket to the event, which is pretty cool, you know. And then the upsell is becoming VIP at the event and getting a trial of Lead Flow School, which is my low ticket subscription. You know, on the thank you page, there's a little VSL there that says, hey, we'd love to work with you further. And whether or not they come to the event, there's now an opportunity for them to jump on the phone with us and work with us. So I found these really cool ways of blending. Like, I don't want to wait for an event in order to pitch, you know, my mid-ticket product. I don't want to wait for whenever the event is, you know, in order to have some community building things. So I think what's been really cool is my head has been swirling with all of these different principles, all these tricks that I'm seeing in different places, and I'm now blending them all together in a single event, and it's very elegant, and most important, it's simple. Super, super, super simple. It's so simple. And my offer is called Profit Lab. I used to have an event called Offer Lab, which is or a product called Offer Lab, and I'm so proud of it. It launched a lot of people's careers. It was amazing. Offer Lab was fantastic. I shut it down for some stupid reasons. You know, it worked. Better stop it. You know, but I also saw I ran it for probably 3 years. I saw what worked well with it. I saw where people struggled and where they needed more help, all that stuff. Well, now, the wildly improved, far more all-encompassing program is called Profit Lab. And, I am so, so psyched for it. So Profit Lab is awesome. Pursuit of Profit is the name of the 3-day event. It's going to be $100, and the shirt is going to be part of the ticket to it, which is pretty cool. I'm psyched. Anyway, I guess the whole point of what I'm saying with you guys on this is sometimes, you know, I started with talking about advice, and sometimes things get really challenging, you know, or hard. Sometimes you just don't know where the ship is taking you for a while. And there's something to be said of going and building a product that is good. You know, always build an offer. That's not what I've been struggling with. What I've been going through is I've been feeling myself go through this massive, like, almost feels like my vision just went through this massive upgrade and like deep clean, like a big scrubbing just went through it, and it was not comfortable. And now I'm like, holy crap, I know the model. I see all the pieces. I see how they fit together. I know exactly. I haven't been this clear. I haven't had a 10-year vision like this ever, much less the clarity that I have even in the short term 2 years. Like, I know exactly what I'm building. And because of that, and because my vision is so freaking clear now and I'm so excited about it, I actually have had harder times now sleeping longer, for the benefit, like a good thing, you know. Meaning I'm excited. I get up and start working. You know, I'm taking ice baths in the morning. It's been really interesting what's been happening. I've been feeling the ground move beneath my feet again. People, skill sets, very interesting scenarios aligning for my sake, falling in my lap. Leverage, like I've never experienced it, you know. Attracting the right people, talking to the right people. I have not felt this level of momentum in well over 5 years, probably 6. I would say I haven't felt this level of clarity since 2019. I remember January 2019, I had been out of my job for a year, and I had a weird scenario happened. I remember when I left my job, I'll end with this. When I left my job, my biggest fear was that it wouldn't work and I'd die in a gutter, right? Basically, right? It's everyone's fear. Like I left my job working for one of the most famous marketers in history as his actual right-hand man, my desk in his office. You understand? Nobody else has ever done that. They don't even have that role anymore. I left that job, which sounds psycho. I mean, I got some hate mail for it, literally, right? Not from him, obviously. He's one of my best friends. So psyched to be writing the dramatic demonstration book. And it's taken me like getting clarity on this vision for me to feel momentum there too again. But I got it, man. I freaking got it. But I left that job January 1st, 2018 with the exciting, scary scenario that I had no revenue. You know, 4 days later, I had 20 grand in my hand because I had built pressure and I did a big launch and all this stuff, right? Really cool. And
3 months later, I had about $150,000 to $200,000 in my hand, you know, and the product had just gotten finished. So I was building a product with the audience. I made $200,000 doing that. And I had a really interesting feeling happen because a year after that, 13 months to the day is when I crossed the $1 million mark collected, right? And I could tell that my relationship was not good. I could tell that something big was probably going to happen. You know, about a year after that, 2020, I got divorced. You know, it was terrible. Like, it's awful. You know, it's not all the respect to previous relationships. You know, I'll never bash. But, you know, it's hard, you know? And I remember in February of 2019, so 13 months after, I just crossed the $1 million mark, and I had a very conflicting emotion. Surprised me. The emotion was, woo, made $1 million. Wow, yeah, it's awesome, it worked. The conflicting and exact opposite emotion was, oh crap, this worked. Where am I going now? It was a weird feeling, man. And I remember one of the major reasons I actually went to go build this event studio was because I did not know what other scary scenario was going to be in my life that would make me grow really quickly. Tells you a little bit about what's going on in my psyche as well, right? This is way before I knew what psychedelic therapy was. This is before I had like been, you know, and like all that stuff. And I was like, it's funny because part of the way I like to, you know, start speeches now is for those people who are like successful, is there's this really weird conflicting emotion that can happen where you sit down and you say to yourself, yeah, oh, wait, uh-oh, it worked. What do I do now? Right? You spend so much time wondering if you're going to get it right, if the pitch is going to work, if the launch is going to happen, if you're going to get sales. And then it does. And you're like, oh, I had all my attention, effort, and energy in this beginning part. What do I do now? Right? And not just from a business sense. I was like, where is my vision? Where am I going? Well, that was about 6 years ago. That's crazy. That was 6 years ago when I remember that very conflicting, weird experience. And it has not been since I really left my job that I've had this level of clarity. And it's not been since specifically asking myself, oh crap, what do I do now? I have an answer. It's really cool. Since then, I built an event studio. I've done 28 events. You know, I've done around 15 million in sales, collected some. A lot of it came at the beginning, and then I've been kind of like, what do I do? What do I hear? And I can look backwards clearly now and recognize, what I've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years is building my own in-depth proprietary formulas on launching formulas, going deep in rich dead guy formulas, building my own proprietary formulas on offer creation. Very different approach than what the, you know, I'm not saying that there aren't other great ways, but I have a killer offer formula and theology. I've made my own funnel theology. I love Lynchpin. I don't really use it. I love Value Ladder. I don't really use it. I'm in my own business model system, which entrains your marketing so that there's only one thing you're saying to the marketplace. And that's, it's very awesome. It's very cool. Right? I've created my own content system. I've put out almost 1,000 podcast episodes, 2 different YouTube shows, 5 different shows altogether. Right? I have been in the lab. Right? The last 6 years for me have been a deep, deep, deep lab. And I have, people want to know how to make an affiliate stuff. Let me go figure out the affiliate stuff. Bam. I'm one of the top affiliates for quite a while. ClickFunnels stuff, almost all through organic traffic. Right. Ads are easy when you're organic rocks, you know? So that's why I've had so much focus on organic also. Cause I figure if I can get it, even Albert Lasker said this in 1950, he said the product that will not sell profitably without advertising will not sell profitably with advertising. Ads are not the answer. They're just an accelerant. So I was like, I got to get good at organic messaging then. And then ads become easy. And that's true. Right. So so I know the next few lanes I'm going to go create my own expertise in. And I'm guinea pig. You know, I'm a discoverer. That's what I do. And, someone who used to be a very dear friend of me, she told me once, she goes, you have this ability to go up to the mountain, you disappear for a while, we're like, where's Steve? Then you come down with these tablets, you know, and he's like, I was like, don't compare me to Moses. But she goes, that's what you do though. You go off and then you deliver your expertise in this very unique way. So it's cool. I am actively trying to step into thought leadership. I know the vision. I know exactly how I'm going to go grow the empire. I know what to do with the money when you make it now also, which is a different skill set. And I did not do a great job at that at the beginning. You know, school of hard knocks though, whatever. Right? Live and learn, whatever. I made mistakes. I'd rather make mistakes of commission than omission. All right, I want to make mistakes because I'm doing stuff, not because I'm not doing stuff. So anyway, I'm ranting, but I just, if stuff feels like it's cloudy, the worst thing you can do is stay still. If people's advice feels like it's always amazing all the time, you may not have enough vision. And vision isn't something that you can just like write on your to-do list. Come up with vision. It takes discovery. Vision requires curiosity. Vision requires exploration without any expectation. I said that in one of my latest psychedelic journeys, actually. She's like, how come you've been feeling like you don't have vision? And I'm like, well, because I need to give myself license to explore again. She goes, well, how come you're not giving yourself license to explore again? I was like, because I'm not giving myself license to be curious. I keep listening to what all those, too many inputs from the external world, you know. And I feel like I've come to this point in my career now where, you know, it's not that I can't learn from others, and I'm not saying that, but I've been doing this for a long enough time, comparative to how most people just don't stick with it, that the roadmaps and frameworks of others have not always, but for the topics I've at least pioneered in, the road ran out. And now I've been looking at me going, well, what do you want to do, Steve? What do you want? Right? Are you going to want your wants? That's what's been happening. So I'm really pumped. So yeah, Capitalist Pig shirt, be prepared. Our goal is to sell 1,000 shirts a day. I'm going to keep getting on world leaders' backs, which is awesome. Put it on the shoulders of people and realize that it is a pledge. Capitalism is a verb as much as it is an identity. Part of that, I'm going to teach people how the pursuit of profit, like the formulas behind it. Hey, here's my favorite way to make an offer. Here's my favorite way to make messaging. Here's my favorite way to get traffic. Here's my favorite way to sell it on the internet in the simplest way possible. Please do not try to be a professional funnel builder if you do not want to go down that career path. It is its own career, right? Here's my favorite ways to make content. Here's my favorite ways to do team management. Here's my favorite ways to do quarterly and yearly planning. Here's my favorite ways. And a lot of it is just, it's been really, really, I feel very lucky. So man, it's been a journey though. And I can feel for the first time in 6 years, I am standing at the edge of this awesome cliff, right? That's going to just, and I'm like, whoa, I'm wearing a wingsuit. It's like the self-awareness. Whoa, my goal's over there. All I got to do is jump. And it's been freaking cool, man. So I feel really, there's a part of me that's nervous, but it's been replaced by purpose. And if you want to know more about that topic, listen to the first three episodes of Rare Things with Marley and I, because we talked about how it was quite the experience to realize, oh, I have an addiction to chaos and pain. I got to swap that out with purpose. And then thus the question became, what's my purpose? And then, oh, what's my purpose? Leads to identity crisis, leads to figuring out what I'm going to go do when I grow up, realizing that I got successful very young, you know, and I got to... don't rest on your laurels. Circling all the way back, that's what that dude was telling me in the line. He just literally confirmed where my head was at with all this stuff. He's like, you're still talking about stuff in the past a little bit. What are you doing now? And I was like, okay, well, this is what I'm doing now. And he's like, okay, that's awesome. He's like, just don't fall for that trap. He's like, that's what happened to me. I plateaued because I was successful quick. And he was like, I just needed to recreate my vision. And I'll leave you with this. He said to me, there is a secret sauce. He says, do you want to know the secret sauce of success? I was like, heck yeah. You know, he's about probably 20 years older than me. And his overall vibe was really interesting. Whenever music was playing, he would just like dance like he was in a solo room. It was really slow, like subtle, you know. And whenever someone said something he liked, he just was like a playful out guy. And I was like, that's what I want to be like, you know, in another 20 years from now, you know. That's what I want to follow. Like, you could feel his presence. I don't know how to say it. It was really interesting. It's like if Tony Robbins walked in the room, you'd be like, whoa, like you can feel that, right? It was similar. I was like, who? I don't even know who this guy is, but I can tell the dude is just an energetic powerhouse, and I'm feeling it. I'm like, what is it? And he confirmed all this stuff. He said, here's the secret sauce. He said, the secret sauce is being so clear on what you want. You have to know what you want. If you don't, that's the biggest issue first off. But once you know what you want, it has to be so clear. So clear. You can see it. You can visualize it. You feel it in your body. And he like smacked my chest. He was getting really energetic with me. He's like, you feel in your body. He like put his head back and he put his arms out, kind of like the Hulk ripping a shirt off. He's like, and he looked kind of up and he's like, you feel it. And you feel in every cell. And he like got really emotional. You feel in every cell in your body. Every cell in your body is full with you wanting what you want, with purpose, with clarity, with energy, with drive. This is what I want. Pouring in so much energy, so much passion to this thing. He's like, what you'll start to see as you spend time in that emotion every day is that things will begin to fall in the path for you. And I was like, oh my gosh, I call that things conspiring for your sake. He's like, yeah. And I was like, you're talking about manifesting. He's like, yeah. I was like, that's what I've taught my people too, is like you get clear on what the thing is and then you visit the future as if it's happened. But then more importantly, you add the emotion of what it is that you expect to be feeling once you've attained the goal. You just got the announcement that you got your goal. And that rush of whatever that is, hold that feeling, but then come back to the present and maintain that feeling. That is how you collapse time. It's one of the fastest ways to collapse time. The other way is to delete things from your life every time you add a new goal. And thus you create a vacuum for the goal. You have to be careful. I want more. You know, everyone sets these goals. They want more. I want more, 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 more. Okay. But at the same time, your brain is literally a finite thing and your life also is a finite container. In terms of time, and I realize time is man-made, but if you sit there and also create positive vacuums, radical deletion, every time you add a goal, you also add a vacuum, right? And you end up creating this effect in your life that ushers in, it's like a vacuum, it sucks the goal towards you. Then when you add in that emotion piece and bring it in, oh my gosh, you'll feel the ground move beneath your feet. And that's the other thing that's been happening in my life positively in the last like 3 months is I've been creating vacuums. I've been deleting things. I've been saying yes to discomfort actively. Where is it? Purposely being uncomfortable, right? Not in a masochist way, not in a way that I'm like, oh, I can't allow myself to be comfortable. It's not like that either, okay? But I am very willing to pay the price of discomfort in order for my goal, right? And all these lessons, all these things have just been, the through line has been huge. So anyway, go listen to the rare, if you like what I'm talking about right now, that's kind of what, go to the rare things. www.therarethings.com. It's on YouTube. It's also on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. I was like watching that type of, so I would go on YouTube, but anyway. All right, you guys are awesome. Go to wearepigs.com or capitalistpigshirt.com or pursuitofprofit.com. If you want to check out the things I've been doing, I'm going to teach this nation how to make value again. So here we go. Thanks for listening.